Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, you like what you do, but maybe you don't like your boss, because that boss does not appreciate you, maybe doesn't even appreciate your work. How should you handle that? Should you quit? Should you complain? Well, as we approach National Bosses Day, we have some experts to offer some advice on how to deal with your higher-up while keeping your career on track. Our guest tonight, Tanya Sloan, she's an attorney and career strategist, and Deborah Owens, career advisor and founder of the Corporate Alley Cat. The phone lines are also open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Have you had enough of your boss and are ready to move on or tell them off? Or are you a boss and don't know what to do with your employees? Do they like you? Do you not like them? We'd like to hear from you. We've heard from some folks, you know, social media, there's a comment for everything. And on TikTok, it usually gets creative. And there is one TikTok out now that is talking about, hey, do I need to stay in this job? If I don't like it, I can move on. Here's an example.
I'm calling out tomorrow. Show Liz. PTO, prepare the others because I ain't coming.
So that's what's happening. Folks are calling out. Folks are calling it quits, moving on. They say, I've got the power now. If I don't like you, if I don't like the work, if I don't like the way my boss is treating me, this is a workers' market right now. Folks are leaving their jobs at record numbers, especially in retail. Those numbers are astronomical. In restaurants, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tanya Sloan and Deborah Owens are our guests. I'm going to start with you, Tanya. Listen, you just heard the TikTok. He says, you know, I'm calling out, get somebody else to come in. And is that the approach now, that folks aren't as worried about losing their job because there's so many other jobs out there? So if we've got National Boss Day or Bosses Day and you feel your boss doesn't appreciate you, is it a lot easier now for you to quit? And if so, why so?
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to share on air. You know what? You are right. That is the environment we're living in now. This pandemic has made us refuse to ignore how we feel in the workplace. Prior to the pandemic, there were lots of things that we would take, we would overlook, but because this pandemic has added a stress level to everything we do, employees, unfortunately, are fed up and are not willing to be silent about their complaints about the workplace. Because there's also a lot of opportunity in almost every industry, because everyone's had to find a new way of doing business, there's other jobs available. So these TikTok videos are absolutely right. Employees are fed up and employees have more opportunities than they've had previously.
Deborah Owens, the Washington Post has helped us out a little bit. We'll give them some credit. They had a long article that was published a couple of days ago just talking about the number of folks who are quitting their jobs. Some 4.3 million people have quit their jobs as of August. That's nearly 3% of the workforce. And as I had mentioned earlier, many of those, the highest levels, you know, are those in retail and restaurants. What does that mean for the economy? And is this something that's going to be long lasting or just a hiccup in your mind?
Well, I think, well, first, thanks so much for having me on WHUR. I love joining the show. I think during the pandemic, everyone's had the opportunity to take some time for reflection, to identify what's important to them, what kind of environments they want to be in, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable to them. And so I don't think this is a trend in the sense that I don't think work will ever go back to the way it used to be. I think that people always had options if they were in a toxic environment or they were in an environment that they didn't feel appreciated. But I think the pandemic has brought home and the economy that I do have options, and that I can exercise them, because you always have a choice. You've always had a choice. I think people were just more hesitant about executing. And I think now the pandemic and some of the other things that have gone on in our country, George Floyd, the political, people are really taking stock and determining where they want to be and where they don't want to be.
When you have a title for a day, a week, or a month, that usually means it is something, you know, positive. So if it's National Bosses Day, it usually means, you know, hey, you're going to honor your boss. If it's Mother's Day, that means you honor your mother. Father's Day, you honor your father. So National Bosses Day has a positive, should have a positive connotation to it. So I know I kind of started off on the negative side, but what, Tanya, makes a good boss? What makes someone come in on Saturday or tomorrow, the day before National Bosses Day, and say, hey, I appreciate you, and here are some flowers, here's a gift, here's what I think you've done positively. Why would an employer come in and say that to, I mean, an employee say that to an employer? What usually are the signs of a good boss?
Well, there are two key things, relationship and performance. Of course, National Bosses Day is really meant to represent those hardworking bosses in the workplace. So it's our opportunity to give those bosses their flowers while they are living. But we also have to look at the history of National Bosses Day to really put it in context. National Bosses Day started in 1958 by a woman who wanted to represent and honor her father, who she believed was an exemplary boss. So, of course, the father-daughter relationship really influenced the daughter's ability. Her name is Patricia Horowski. It influenced her ability to even want to create a National Bosses Day. So that relationship can't be ignored. It says that relationship is really the cornerstone of what even makes someone think someone is worthy of being honored. So whether or not you're related to your boss, you should have a relationship with your boss, and hopefully it is positive, such that you have warm feelings toward your boss, such that you want to honor him or her in the workplace.
And Deborah, if we have workers like John Deere, work for John Deere, striking, school bus drivers striking, not enough truck drivers out there right now to deliver goods. And folks are saying, look, I don't need to do this anymore. I want more flexible hours. I don't want to work so hard. This pandemic has shown me there's more things important than just working. And maybe I just want to take a break. If that's the case, what does that mean for the boss, the employer, especially small businesses who are looking for folks but can't seem to find them because the workers have more choices? So if you're the boss, especially in a small business, how should you then approach trying to hire employees?
So great question. I am a small business and I hire employees. And one of the things that you want to create is you want to have an environment where people can come in, they're going to learn, they're going to grow, it's going to give them purpose, it's going to have an impact, and it's going to be a pleasant day, a pleasant environment where they want to get out of bed and do that work every day. So while it's competitive in terms of, you know, people are leaving jobs, there still are lots of environments that aren't ideal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because they have an opening doesn't mean you want to work there, right? So I think as an employee, even though there are options, you have to be careful. What kind of environment are you looking for? What kind of environment do you thrive in? Is this a short-term thing? Is this a long-term thing? Do you want to grow and go into leadership? Does this particular opportunity offer you that? And as an employer, you're looking for people who have a track record of success, right? You're looking for people who can contribute. And you're looking for people who share the same values as it relates to the type of work you do, right? So just because there's a lot of jobs open doesn't mean that all of the jobs are great jobs or ones that you would want.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. National Bosses Day is coming up in 2 days. What kind of boss do you have? Do you like him or her? Are you a boss? And what kind of boss are you? Can you give us some tips on what makes a good boss and what kind of responses do you get from your employees if you're the boss? 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines now. Nikita is calling from Maryland. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine. I was calling because my comment is, it's not that I don't like my boss. I just don't like bosses, and this has happened to me for the last 5 years. So I submit training requests for the type of training that I need or I feel I need to, you know, for a career transition or for me to excel. But my supervisors are always denying me the training. Like, aren't you as a supervisor supposed to encourage us and help us excel so that we can get promoted instead of keeping us stagnant?
Tanya, how about that? She says, look, I want to move forward. I'm trying to be on the right career track, but I'm not getting a whole lot of support on the job. What should she do? What should Nikita do?
Well, first of all, let me applaud Nikita for wanting to excel in the workplace and wanting to be her best self. You are exactly the kind of employee that every employer wants. But I think there's something key that you said. You said you've been doing it for the last 5 years. And I don't know how you've been submitting that request, but it may be time to change your approach. So if your approach for requesting this training has simply been to fill out an electronic form and hit the button, maybe you want to shift gears and actually have a conversation with your boss or the individual who's going to review that request. Secondly, you have to be careful in requesting training that could take you out of your current employment position. That's because there's this tension between wanting to keep the employee happy but not wanting the employee to move on from the position. So, Nikia, what will serve you well is if you can demonstrate to your boss how you receiving the training will actually make you better in the current position you have before you focus on your desire to move on to the next step. And I think that will get you a different result than what you've been experiencing these last 5 years.
Okay, sounds like good advice, Nikita. Good luck to you on that process, and good for you that you are trying to move forward in your career as best you can. But thank you so much for your call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's National Bosses Day coming up on Saturday, and tonight we're talking about what makes a good boss, and if you're an employee, does a bad boss cause you to leave your job? Tanya and Deborah, we have heard this, any of us who've worked long enough, that usually if you quit a job or change a job, it's usually not so much about the job that you have, but the manager that you have. Managers cause you to want to leave your job. Before we go to break on the other side, I wanted to ask you both about that. Would you agree to that, Deborah?
Yes, I do agree with the statement that people don't leave companies. They usually leave managers in the organization. That's very common. And that's why leadership skills, having bosses that appreciate all types of employees and their contributions is really important.
Right. I want to give you a little bit more time to expand on that. I kind of set you up on that one, Deborah, because we're up against the clock. So I want you to finish your thoughts. So hold that. We're going to take a quick break. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. So stay right there on the line. If you're there, Dorothy will get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 98.3 FM and 96.3 HD2. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Deborah Owens, I cut you off and you wanted to finish your point about, as you more aptly said, folks usually don't quit the company. They're quitting their manager.
Well, there's data out there that says a large percentage of people quit their jobs specifically because of their managers. And I think a lot of times it's difficult managing people. It's difficult creating a relationship with the folks on your team. There are a lot of people, a lot of leaders out there who shouldn't be people managers. And then you have a lot of employees where we have not gotten a lot of information in terms of how to manage someone whose style may be different than ours, how to navigate that boss-employee relationship. But in an ideal world, you want to call it a partnership, right? You want that person to at least be able to help you grow and thrive in that environment in some form or fashion. I also encourage people, though, don't let their bosses be the end-all and the be-all of that opportunity. Right? Because oftentimes people do leave for a boss, and sometimes that's a mistake because they're missing out on all of the other opportunities that could be in that organization. They can get off the team. Their boss may not be there for a long period of time. They can look for opportunities that will give other leaders visibility to the work they do. So I want to caution people before they throw away a great opportunity at a great organization because of one person.
202-319-7810. Right. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. A lot of great advice from our experts tonight. Tanya Sloans, she's an attorney and career strategist. And Deborah Owens, she's a career advisor and founder of the Corporate Alley Cat. We're taking your phone calls tonight, too. 202-319-7810. National Bosses Day is coming up this weekend. What say you about your boss? And if you're a boss, what kind of boss are you? What have you found to be effective and what doesn't work? Back to the phone lines we go. Dorothy is calling from Virginia. Dorothy, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I was listening to your program here, and I think the lady that you were talking to, I think she kind of missed it a little bit. You know, a lot of people leaving their jobs because, you know, you don't think about vacations with pay, sick leave, you know, raises, giving people raises and just keeping them right there at that $10 an hour for 5, 6, 7 years, you know, and people get sick. And so I think that bosses ought to offer their employees sick leave, vacation with pay. They'll keep coming back. They won't leave the job because they feel like the boss is good to them. I mean, I get sick leave, I get vacation with pay, and I get a raise every now and then. You know, I'm not $10 an hour for the last 7, 8 years. You know, and recognize the person that, you know, I watched this program called, it's about a boss who, what is the name of the program? I forgot the name of the program. Anyway.
But- I think we see where you're going, Dorothy, and I want to give our guests a chance to address that. Tanya, Dorothy is basically saying, give us more, give us something that will bring us back, give us, you know, a little bit more vacation, give us some more time off. Is there a point though where employers have to go, okay, you know, this is pretty much what we can give, but if it's a workers' market, do the bosses, do the employers just have to adjust to the demands of the workers since there is a shortage right now?
Well, Dorothy, I understand your pain, and I, like you, yes, I want sick leave, I want an increase in my compensation and all those things. But the lawyer in me has to stand up and remind us both that the employee-employer relationship is a contractual relationship, and there must be balance. So there, yes, has to be prize benefits given to the employee, but there also has to be prize service that the employee gives to the employer. And it has been my experience that for those employees
who are willing to give increasing levels of good performance in the workplace, they usually don't have a problem getting increasing levels in compensation, because most organizations or understand that this employee-employer relationship is contractual, and we both need to give and take.
All right. Thank you so much, Deborah. Dorothy, I'm sorry for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Jennifer is calling from Lanham, Maryland. I know that area. Go right ahead, Jennifer, with your question or comment.
Hi, everybody. So I'm calling now from a little bit of a different perspective. I myself am a supervisor, and I just wanted some advice from the panel this evening on how to handle a situation where you are dealing with staff that you necessarily don't care for. And I'm talking about professionally and personally, but you're doing your best. As we mentioned and as we acknowledged during the pandemic, there has been significant turnover with my organization. So, you know, trying to maintain that balance, show your appreciation, but if some behaviors just displayed at the job, you're just like, trying my best with you, ma'am, to keep this professional. Just looking for some advice on how to find that balance.
And before you hang up, so stay on the line, Jennifer, do you also feel somewhat, too, because you may not like this person, may not like them personally, or either their work ethic or all of that, do you feel somewhat hemmed up because of the lack of availability of new employees out there?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'll let Tanya and Deborah jump in on that. Deborah, go right ahead. What would you advise Jennifer, small business owner?
All right. Yeah. So Jennifer's working with someone on her staff that she does not like.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to this being transactional, you don't have to love that person or always really like that person. You don't have to invite that person over for Thanksgiving dinner. But you do have to have a respectful working relationship where you all are able to accomplish the work that needs to be done. When you say you don't like that person, there's a couple of things that I would dig a little deeper. Oftentimes, managers and their employees don't get along because they have different styles, different communication styles, different ways of working, different ways of approaching problems. Sometimes it's just a style issue. Now, if it's a performance issue, right, that's something that you should be able to address. If the person is not performing and those expectations are laid out and they are evaluated, then documenting, coaching should be able to take care of those types of situations. Now, if it's somebody that, you know, you just don't like for whatever reason, because just personally, you just don't click with that person, I think, obviously, you want to like the people you work with, but it's not required all the time. You just need to be able to work with them to accomplish those goals, be respectful. Hopefully, you can still have a pleasant work environment. But if it's a performance issue, you have to address that. And if it's a style issue, you have to address that. And oftentimes it's a communication. People have not talked with each other. And it's just something that's simmering under the surface that people are reacting to as opposed to addressing and responding.
All right. Jennifer, does that help? Is that somewhat in the environs of what you're dealing with?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just super duper helpful. Like I said, it's personally and professionally. I won't go too deep on this call, but it goes down roads of sabotage and gossip. It gets very ugly. So it just gets hard to kind of manage that. But as a senior level, you know, manager, you know, you just got to do your best. So thank you so much for that advice. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for your call, Jennifer. And good luck with how
you
handle that. Tanya, I was reading a couple of things, and one of the issues was when you're having some challenges, as Deborah was even talking about, when you're the employer and you're having some challenges, you know, with your boss, you know, how should you handle it? Should you take it to higher ups? Should you go to HR? Should you ask for a mediator? What would your advice be? Because on the HR side, and I've got to say, I've had this experience before. Sometimes you're a little I don't know if I want to go to HUR because I hope that's not a Freudian slip. I don't want to go to HR because I have heard that folks in HR go right back to my higher up. So is HR sometimes a tenuous place to go if you're having an issue with your boss?
So this is a question that everyone expects me to answer with the typical lawyer answer.
Okay.
Yes, go to HR. Yes, follow the formal process of filing a complaint, filing a grievance. But, you know, the career strategist in me and the woman who's worked in the halls of power for 20 years has a very different approach.
Okay.
I believe that communication really is the key. Oftentimes when there is a problem in the workplace, a lot of it is based on a lack of communication or just perception of things that may or may not be factual.
Okay.
So if you are an employee and you feel like, you know, your boss is not treating you fairly and you're thinking about going to HR, how about starting with a conversation directly with your boss? Something as simple as, can you tell me, boss, mm-hmm. how you see me in the workplace?
Hmm.
And that conversation can be an avenue for you to be able to clear up perceptions that may be off, or it may just be an opportunity for you and your boss to connect on another level.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with always resorting to going to HR or the formal process is really the rules and regulations may be there, but they don't always do a good job at solving the human problem. Yes, there's step one, step two, complete this report, wait 20 days, you know, and then have, you know, a meeting about the issue. But in waiting those 20 days, you still got to show up at work every day, and you're going to be living in the issue. So I think a lot of times the fights, the formal grievances, often can be solved with just a simple conversation mm-hmm. between employees in the workplace.
And Deborah, if you are having yes. problems with your boss, or did you want to add to that, Deborah? I'm sorry.
I did want to add to
sure.
that. I see that often with the people that we work with. And one of the best pieces of advice I can give folks is if you are having an issue with your employer, your manager, your boss, address it early before it becomes a problem. Oftentimes, people let these things build up. And by the time they're ready to say something, the train has left the station.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes with HR, potentially to move you out of your position. Or tension has ratcheted up that it may be impacting your performance. It may be impacting your manager's performance of you, which they may be sharing with other people, which means it can impact your career. And oftentimes I find that this can be nipped in the bud if it is addressed earlier. So if someone says something that is not positive, and I tell people this, the first time you hear something about your performance that is not positive or says it is not meeting expectations, that's the time you have the conversation, you get the specifics, you get clear on the expectations, and you put a plan together and you document it so everyone's on the same line, is aligned on it. It doesn't have to be uber formal, but you have to understand early on what's going on and not wait, because there can be other reasons why your manager may be saying things to you that in fact may not be accurate. But if you don't address them, then that perception becomes reality. So I would say don't be scared to have a conversation and get clarity on what your manager is saying to you. Because oftentimes people say, well, my manager said this. And I say, well, what does that mean? I don't know. You need to understand and have specifics on that and then act accordingly.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 98.3 FM and 93.6 HD2. This is the Insight segment, and we're talking about bosses. National Bosses Day is coming up this weekend. So what makes a good boss? What makes a bad boss? And if you're an employee, how do you get around that? If your boss is getting on your nerves, or if it's a great boss, share with us what makes him or her great. Maybe you can help some of those other bosses out there. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah Owens, what do you hear most from employees? What do they complain about most regarding their bosses or their higher-ups?
I think what I hear is that people don't feel that they're getting the support they need to advance their career. They're not getting the opportunities that they want. I think that is the biggest complaint that I get. And that shows up in lots of different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can show up in terms of how much your boss is or isn't advocating for you. It can show up sometimes in the form of microaggressions and bias. It can show up in the type of work or the projects that you get. So I think oftentimes people, the most common one I get is people feel that they are not getting the support so that they can advance their careers, and the efforts that they are putting in are not always valued appropriately.
Hmm. Tanya, how do I put this? Our emotions, I guess, sometimes can get the better of us, right? And hate is a deep word. So, but if you really, really dislike the person who is supervising you, right, and you just kind of want to go off, can your emotions sometimes get in the way of your good sense and how you should deal with issues in the workplace if you have a boss that you really cannot work with, you don't respect, feels like they don't respect you? What do you do if you're that kind of person that kind of, you know, pops off very easily? What do you suggest they do? How do they handle themselves in that way, or handle sort of what they know about themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a common issue that is experienced in every workplace. Of course, we are all human and we all have emotions. So our emotions will lead us to respond to the scenarios that we face. But popping off is never a good thing. If you are someone who is aware of the fact that you have that inclination, even whether you're aware of it or not, everyone should focus on self-reflection as a first step in responding. Oftentimes, you know, we can get caught up in the heat of the moment. We may think we saw something that we didn't see, or perceive something in a way that an individual didn't mean it. So it's always a best practice to make your first step in responding the step of reflecting on the scenario. Also, what's helpful, and I say this as someone who is a boss and also as someone who has a boss, we all have to remember that when we agree to go work for an organization, whether we are working, you know, as a supervisor or not, we all agree that we are going to do our best to make it work. When we show up on day one, we will not have already met every person that's in the organization. But the underlying agreement is that you're going to show up and you're going to perform a job with all those other individuals in the workplace. So essentially, we've agreed that we are going to do our best to try to make, to get along with everyone around us. So we just have to keep that in mind, that every individual that you work with, you have a responsibility to try to find a way to get along so that you can remain a part of the organization.
Deborah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I jump
sure.
in here?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the pieces of information that I think is so important, if you're somebody who pops off and you know you pop off, or someone has told you always do this, is to remember you don't have to respond in the moment.
Hmm.
Just because you don't respond then and there, it doesn't mean you can't respond to it tomorrow. You're not going to lose anything unless you're dealing with a termination, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I suggest to people is if someone says something to you, let's say all of it is inaccurate, you've never heard it before, I recommend that people just say something along the lines, listen, this is the first time I've heard this. I'd like to take a day or two to process it, and then I'll circle back with you. Then you can come back much better equipped to respond to the situation and not react, and to get some understanding about what's going on, what may be going on behind the scenes, some things that you may not be aware of, or some misunderstandings. But I always encourage people, you don't have to respond then and there. It does not make you look weak. It does not mean you agree, but it gives you time to process it so you can approach it in the way that's most effective and beneficial for you.
Deborah, can a bad boss or even a good boss inspire one of their employees to maybe start their own business? Maybe if it's a bad boss, it's like, I've got to get out of here and do my own thing. Or if you have a good boss, you go, this is an example I can use. Take what they're doing and move in and do my own thing. Can bosses have that much influence really on the way you move in terms of your career?
I think all of the people that you work with can inspire you, and your bosses definitely can. I had a bad boss, and I had a discrimination situation, and many years later, I started a business based on that one experience.
Hmm.
So I was inspired to ensure that other people don't go through that experience alone and that they're informed when they go through it. But it's very much a gig economy, and what people refer to as a side hustle, which used to be something extra, most people have something that they do on the side. The gig economy is real. And I encourage people to have something separate from their job that fills their need for purpose and that also can bring in a revenue stream for them, even if it's a small one, because that always helps to give you more options and you don't feel as dependent on this job or having to work for this person who may or may not be impacting your family, your health, your mental well-being. So absolutely, use that inspiration, good or bad, to step more into your purpose and to give yourself a foundation or a cushion so that you're not dependent on the corporation or a particular company or person.
Tanya, we've talked about bosses, you know, mostly tonight. We've also talked, obviously, about employees. But can too much emphasis be put on the boss? And I'm not saying yes or no, but I was just wondering that. Can too much emphasis be put on a boss or a supervisor in terms of their influence?
Absolutely. In a lot of cases, there is too much emphasis placed on a boss. And that is because no person can fully control his or her boss. But what they have full control over is him or herself. So they have the ability to change their perspective. They have the ability to reach out to communicate. They have the ability to approach a scenario differently, and they have the ability to even change employment opportunities.
All right.
Sometimes we give the powers outside of ourselves far too much influence on how we show up in the workplace and how we feel in the workplace each and every day. But if you focus on yourself and what you can control, you have a much more successful employment experience.
All right. We've just got a couple more seconds. And Deborah, just because we're running out of time, I'm so sorry. But Deborah, I want to make sure folks know how they can get in touch with you and your website, or if they want to learn more about you and the Corporate Alley Cat.
Absolutely. They can visit corporatealleycat.com, or they can reach out to me via LinkedIn. our work typically, we work with Black and Brown professionals and corporations to provide support so that people can navigate and advance their careers.
And Tanya, how can folks get in touch with you or any website you would suggest that they go to?
Absolutely. The best way to find out everything about me is to go to Instagram and look for me at Power and Pearls. You'll be able to find every website, all the information for great career advice and inspiration.
She is Tanya Sloan's attorney and career strategist, and Deborah Owens, career advisor and founder of the Corporate Alley Cat. We thank you both so much for your expertise tonight. Fantastic conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks, so.
That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Thursday, October 14th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.